Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Now, something we all deal with is, what are we going to do with our cats and our, you know, other pets when we are on vacation or away from home? That is always a big issue. I know it's a huge problem in my household. So I have a great guest on today, and she's going to talk about a solution for all of us. So I'm excited to have her on. We will be right back after this message.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Emily Grossman. She is the Chief Marketing Officer from Trusted House Sitters. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks so much for having me.
Very excited to have you. So as I said in the intro, Trusted House Sitters does pet sitting, but we'll get into more details. But what do they do exactly? Because it's much more than pet sitting.
Absolutely. Yeah, Trusted House Sitters has a really unique model. So you're exactly right. We connect pet owners with verified sitters who provide loving in-home care in exchange for a place to stay. And unlike more traditional pet care, there are no per-night fees. We operate on a membership model that attracts people who are there because they genuinely love animals. And our community spans now over 280,000 members across 180 countries, built entirely on trust and shared values.
Okay, can you just expand a little bit more on what membership means? Does that membership, like me as a, you know, pet parent, I would be a member and that would enable me to have Trusted House Sitters come to my home when I'm traveling?
Exactly. So our pet parents are joining our community on a membership basis. So exactly that. You would join as a pet parent and you would be able to connect with pet sitters who are part of our community as well. They also join as community members, and they also join with an annual membership as well. So everybody that you're meeting as part of the community has committed to being a part of the same community experience. But as a pet parent, you would be able to meet loads of people who are interested in both travel and, of course, love pets and are interested in caring after pets in homes.
Okay, this might come up later, but I'm too curious right now. Does the membership pay if someone just travels infrequently? Like, what if I travel only, I don't know, maybe once every 2 years?
Yeah, so our community model is such that everybody joins as a member. And it's important that as part of the community, you do commit to being a part of that community for at least a year. Many members do renew annually, even if they don't travel that frequently. In many ways, being part of the community has the ability to connect you with so many other people on the platform. But to your point, it gives you the opportunity to get pet care on multiple times that you travel a year. Or if you travel less frequently, you can travel for a longer period of time and you will match with somebody who is equally interested in staying in your home and looking after your pet. So there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach, and everyone who joins the platform may have different needs for how often they need pet care, but everybody joins on a membership basis.
Okay. And
let's talk about one of the biggest issues that pet parents face, which is when you want to travel or get away, even for a few days, it is a challenge. I know I've almost canceled trips because my partner is extremely fussy about who comes into our home and takes care of our cats and all of that. So it's always a problem. And it deals with trust. Why do you think that's more important than ever right now?
Trust is so essential. And, you know, we've done some recent research that found it's really actually the number one barrier to travel for most pet parents. Most pet parents, you know, 44% of pet owners in our survey found that the single most important factor for travel was knowing that the person at home with their pets really loved animals. And that was their most important factor above price, above reviews, above any other factor. We also found that many pet parents would change their travel plans in order to accommodate their pets. That is certainly something that as a cat mom myself, I have done. Because ultimately pets are family. And what we're seeing more and more is that the question every pet parent is really asking before they travel is not price, it's not logistics, it's whether or not they can trust the person who's with their pet when they go away. So it's incredibly important. And it's part of why we've built this really sort of non-traditional model that prioritizes trust over maybe a more transactional platform. And so, like I said, our platform really encourages membership. It's based on trust. And what that means is you're not exchanging a nightly fee with the person who's at home with your pet. And that's it true if you are getting sort of one pet sitting experience or multiple throughout the year. What we prioritize is the trust between the pet parent and the sitter.
Okay, thank you. And as you mentioned, it's a different type of model. It's not the traditional, you know, pet sitting model where they're paid. It's a little different because it's based on community.
Exactly.
But how do you vet the people that are coming into your home? Because it's all over internet, right? All digital. And there's so many red flags out there with, you know, that people have. How do people get vetted in order to stay? Or is it you that builds the trust with somebody over time?
There's both. So we do some vetting on our side, which I'd say is the sort of first step. So we perform full criminal background checks on U.S.-based members. Outside the US, we verify identities using government-issued IDs, email, phone number checks, and external references. But really beyond that, our community is built on the cornerstone of reputation. Every sit will generate a two-way review between the pet parent and the sitter. And so members build these verified track records over time, and these references are visible on everyone's profile before anybody makes a decision. And in the, you know, sort of next step, when you meet someone through the community and you sort of check their references and you think that this might be a good fit, even beyond that, we encourage members to have video calls with each other to really make sure that they do trust each other before they move forward with a sit, because it's really personal. Trust is really personal. And so while we support verification and making sure that there's a certain amount of trust built into the community, we also, of course, have a community that itself creates accountability through reviews, through conversations. And what happens at the end is that owners will choose who comes into their home based on a full picture of the reviews, the references that we provide, the sit history as well, that the previous pet parents will have provided for different sitters on the platform. So it's not really just a one-time check. It's really about that built reputation over time so that people can build their own relationships through the platform and ultimately make their own determination of, is this a person I really trust with my pet?
Okay. And so there seems to be several checks and balances. So there's always a chance, I think, with anything you do, that there could be, you know, something like red flag or something like that. But there's so many checks and balances. What would you tell my listeners that are saying, I like that, but, you know, someone's staying in my home. How do I know for sure? What would you say to them? Because that could, even after listening and you have self-accountability and all everything you do with reviews, there still could be that hesitancy. Well, this person's staying in my home. Are there enough checks and balances to go to trusted house sitters and find somebody to stay with my, you know, cat What would you tell that listener or listeners that are, you know, pondering this?
Yeah. And there are so many different layers to trust, right? Do I trust that this person is, you know, who they say they are, which is something that we, of course, cover with the ID verification that I mentioned before. But there's also a different kind of trust, which is this the type of person that my pet's going to want to spend time with? Is this the type of person that I trust to treat my home in the way I would treat it? And some of those questions, you know, we as a, you know, community can't answer on behalf of anybody, but we can make sure that we facilitate the environment where community members can ask those questions and they can find out through conversations with members, do I trust this person and do they trust me? And that's what's really beautiful about this community is that that trust should be bi-directional. It's really important to sitters as well that they feel that they can trust the pet parent to be forthcoming about any issues that the pet might have, to be forthcoming about what the experience in the home environment will be like, and for the two parties to really make sure that they're on the same page about what that experience will be. So what we do, of course, is provide the starting point for trust, but that trust is something that gets built once you meet the person and really have those conversations. And what I would say to anyone who's unsure about it is, if you give it a try and you meet somebody and you're still not sure, you absolutely don't have to confirm with that person. The point of confirmation for a sit happens after you establish that initial trust between you. And after you've really vetted on every trust level, is this person who they say they are? Is this person somebody who has the right experience for my pet? Things like maybe the pet type. Are they a person that has experience with cats, or have they only had experience with dogs? We can provide that information. But other things like, is this the type of person who's going to really enjoy spending time with my cat, is something that I'd say as pet parents, we know is unique to us. So it's really important for our members that they have those conversations and that they build that trust between each other. The, I guess, advice I would give as a cat mom is to be really upfront and really honest about what your cat needs. And I think sometimes people worry about being so specific or saying anything that might not land as well as they want it to land. But the reality is that trust relies on transparency. So it's really important that when I speak to someone who's going to come and stay at my house, that I tell them all about my cat, Danny, her quirks, the things that she does that are super unique to her. The fact that when she gets her little fish toy, she makes a sound that sounds like mooing in the house. And, you know, I introduce them to the behavior and the personality of the cat. And I understand pretty quickly, is this a person who's going to really love my cat, really care for them? And that's what I would recommend to people who are thinking about this. By the time you actually would confirm a sitter, they're likely not going to be a stranger anymore, but you do have to put in the time and the effort to get to know someone. And the good news is that all of our members are people who are in the community because they really love pets. So chances are you already have something in common, which is that you are either obsessed with the same types of animals or you have a mutual love of travel and pets. And there are opportunities to connect with people about these wonderful things that that actually lead to lasting friendships, as well as, of course, covering pet care needs in a very particular time.
Okay, thank you. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. It's a seasonal place. Some people are only here part of the year. So maybe I couldn't meet that person until right before they were going to pet sit for me. But are most people local? So that meeting in person is definitely doable.
So we have a number, well, as I said before, we operate across 180 countries, and we have a wonderful sitter community that sits for a variety of different reasons. And that means that they also have different sort of behavior patterns when it comes to taking sits. So there are people who do sit locally. There are people who are, you know, excited about sitting locally for a variety of different reasons. We have sitters who maybe can't have a pet in their current accommodation and their current apartment or home, and they're looking for the pet experience. And there are also sitters who are looking to move neighborhoods within a particular area and are looking to have a more local experience of that environment before they make a commitment to a longer term move. And there are also people who do want to travel, and there are people who want to travel within a city, in a broader state, across states, or even sometimes internationally. So you can find every type of sitter, just as there is sort of every type of person.
Right.
But that also means that you can align on what's best for you. So if it's really important that you meet a sitter in person, it's something that you can say to a sitter on the platform and say that you'd like to make sure that you can meet in person first. And that might require that if somebody is traveling from out of state, that they get there a week before. And so those are the types of things that we support community members on arranging between themselves to make sure that this is a good fit.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Emily Grossman, Chief Marketing Officer of Trusted House Sitters. So, Emily, thank you so much. In the first half of the show, you explained a lot about how Trusted House Sitters works, and I really appreciate that. Now let's talk about having someone watch your cat. A lot of cat parents, you know, either think that there's some misconceptions with leaving their cat. Some think, you know, oh, it's okay to leave my cats alone for 2, 3, 4 days. As long as I have video cameras in the house. There's just so many misconceptions. What do you say to those people?
It's such an important thing to call out. And thanks for doing that, Michelle, because I have a cat who does not love to be left alone. So she would absolutely jump in and try to clarify that for the record. I think cats are really unique, right? They're not a one-size-fits-all species. And there are many personalities that exist in the giant cat family. But I think there's this common misconception that cats are more aloof or more standoffish or maybe need less human attention than other animals. And that might be true for some cats. You know, it's definitely something that you know, maybe you have a cat at home and that's their personality. But there are certainly many other cats that I've met that need much more attention. Also, I think it can vary a lot if there are maybe more senior or anxious cats who have more particular needs. So it's not as easy as, you know, it's a cat and you can leave it at home. I'd say the other thing is that cats are more social creatures than we give them credit for. And even if they sort of appear to not be looking for human interaction, I know for my cat, if I leave her alone for too long, she'll start to look around the house and just see, is someone home? And so I think cats do let us know in their own ways when they're looking for attention and, of course, care. And it's really, really important that we don't just assume they'll be fine being completely isolated or being moved to a completely unfamiliar environment like a kennel.
Okay, yeah. I've always been fortunate to have my cats stay in my home. I think that is key, especially for cats, because I've also had dogs. Because you also sit for dogs. Do you sit for dogs, cats, other pets, any pet?
Yeah, we have many different types of pet on the platform. And actually, after dogs and cats, our next most popular animal is chickens. Seem to be... Yeah, I know.
I would have thought reptiles or something, but chickens, wow.
Chickens, exactly. I think quite a lot of people have adopted chickens in recent times, especially that farm fresh egg experience. So we do have a lot of chickens on the platform. And wow. I've also seen, of course, we have farm families who, of course, also look for sitters for their farm. So we have, of course, all types, but cats and dogs are our most popular by far.
Okay, and what would be the biggest difference between cat parents and dog parents when it comes to, you know, choosing pet care when they're traveling?
I think, again, it's going to be incredibly personal. And so I'll speak from personal experience and what we've seen on the platform, but I think every cat and every dog will be different. So if you've got quite an anxious dog or a much more confident cat, of course, they're quite different from each other. But I think with cats, you know, a lot of what I look for is someone who gets cats. I'm really trying to make sure that this isn't someone who's going to assume that my cat's going to sort of be fine, completely left alone. And they really get that cats are a bit more social in nature. And so that draws me often to previous cat parents, people who may have had cats in the past, or people who really love looking after cats and get that kind of feline personality. My cat in particular will get really anxious if she doesn't have someone in the house with her overnight. And I think, you know, a kennel would be a terrible environment for her. She probably get very sad there. So really, really important that I know when I'm looking for a sitter that we talk about how often that person's going to be in the home, how often they're going to spend time with her. And of course, they're going to also be away from the home at certain times, but we need to make sure it's compatible with the cat's experience. I tend to have a great experience with a lot of remote workers, people who are sometimes looking to have a travel experience that also involves a bit of work, and because they'll actually stay with my cat while they're working during the day. And so that works quite well for me. I think for dog parents, obviously the walk routine is a bit more important for them. So while my cat has her routine and it's super important that she leads on that routine, I'm looking for a sitter who can sort of adjust that, but also spend time with her at home. Of course, for dog parents, they might be looking more for who's going to be able to take my dog on regular walks. What do those walks look like? Is this a person who's going to be comfortable and able to take the dog outside multiple times during the day? So those are some of the maybe straightforward differences between cats and dogs. But I think it obviously will come down to the specific cat or the specific dog, because, you know, they all have very different personalities.
They sure do. They sure do. Now let's talk about the cat parent. What advice would you give the cat parent if they've never left their cat alone before? They're a little anxious and not sure how to start.
Yeah. I mean, look, before you maybe even decide to do a sit, I think it's important to understand how ready your cat is. Really understand your cat. Can they be left alone at all? What happens when you leave during the day? Are they okay with that? Are they comfortable with that? If you are feeling that your cat might be quite anxious, a good opportunity to talk to your vet about, is there anything that they would recommend that would help you build up that confidence with your cat well before you're talking about introducing someone else into the situation? But let's say you're somebody that's comfortable leaving your cat with somebody who's trusted and somebody who knows your cat, and it's much more about you getting comfortable with this new person. And maybe you've, you know, met them through trusted house sitters, maybe you had a video call and you feel confident, but you also are a little bit concerned because you haven't met them in person before and you've never done it before. So it's very natural to just sort of have that almost preset anxiety. I think it's great to have that conversation transparently with your sitter to get to know them, but also to let them know maybe what you're nervous about, where they can help you out. And if you're somebody that really needs dates all the time and that makes you feel quite confident, really important to make sure that you're transparent and upfront with your sitter. I think one of the most surprising things that I've learned by both being a community member in Trusted House Sitters, as well as, of course, working on behalf of Trusted House Sitters, is that every pet parent is different. And some sitters have told me that previous pet parents wanted one photo every few days. I'm a send me as many photos of my cat every day as you possibly can kind of person. I love my cat. I love seeing photos of my cat. There is no interrupting with the cat photos. So I think for me, the more photos, the better, the more reassured I'd feel. And that's what I would recommend to someone who's just starting out on the platform, to make sure that you tell the sitter what the cat needs. And also you ask for photos, updates, and reassurance that's going to make you feel comfortable as things progress. We provide a template for what we call welcome guide. And it's really, really helpful for pet parents that are new to the platform to actually think through all the types of things you might want to tell your sitter. They're about your pet's routines, but also about where to find things in the house, emergency contacts, all of the things that you want to make sure are there in place. And just to be that extra layer of reassurance for you that the sitter's got all the detail that they know. The more you know the sitter knows, the more confident you will feel. So my recommendation would be trust the process, do the prep work, make sure you know how your cat's going to, you know, adjust to a sitter. And if it's just about trusting the sitter, make sure that you provide the information, do the video call, and then also make sure you ask for photos and updates.
Okay, thank you. Great information. So say you connect with someone. Are there situations where sometimes people will barter, you know, like they're in the same community, you know, we connected, I'm going to go on vacation this time, I'm going to go on vacation this time, and they just trade services? Or is it always, you know, a monetary set fee?
Yes. The unique thing about our platform is that actually pet parents and sitters don't exchange any money between each other. So what happens is you join the community, but you would never pay a sitter and the sitter would never pay you. That money doesn't change hands. We operate based on this being mutual value. And again, it's that trust-based community that makes it work. Now, do we ever have pet parents who also sit and sitters who also have pets that they want to look after? That does happen. We actually have a membership type called a combined membership. It's the type of membership I have where I have sitters from the community come and look after my cat, Danny, while I travel. But also I've gone and sought for other community members and I've looked after their cats so that I could have a unique travel experience when I travel as well. So we do have both sides of the community and you can actually participate in both. But in all cases, you are not paying the other party for the experience. And that's something that is a part of the community experience. And there's no money that changes hands between members.
So, for example, say I join the community. I'm not sure what the costs are, but let's just say I joined the community. So it almost sounds in a way, I don't know, the thought that comes to my mind is like co-op, because I joined the community and then based on the type of membership and connecting with someone, I could have someone watch my cat and there's no other fees involved. It's just included in that. But that, does that limit, what if someone travels a lot, you know, there are different levels. What if I'm paying, again, I don't know what the fees are, but what if I'm paying so much and it's like, oh, I'm only traveling twice a year. Someone else is traveling, you know, maybe 15 times a year.
Yeah. So the value that you get out of the platform and the community is going to be incredibly specific to what you want to use it for and also what you put back into it. Trust is our real currency, right? So that's the thing that makes sure that we match and help members find their match. But ultimately, you know, our community fees are, for most people, great value, because even after just one sit, it tends to be a much lower cost than if you were to go for a more transactional sitter relationship. It also tends to be a much lower cost for sitters than if they were going to go for a more traditional travel arrangement. Plus, in the traditional travel arrangement, they don't get the added benefit and companionship of the pet. But the real reason that people do this is not because of the good value that you get out of the platform alone. It's because it is such an incredible experience, and it is because people really love this model and that people join. And so that's what makes it quite unique from some of the other types of pet sitting services. But you're exactly right. There are people who join our community who will only use it a few times a year. And there are other people who join the community who use it many, many times. I've actually had 10 sitters look after Danny in the last year. And that is an incredible value that I get in our premium membership. We have one annual fee and that covers all of the costs. No members have to pay in the premium membership any additional costs to be part of the community. But we do have more flexible memberships as well for people that maybe travel less frequently.
Okay. And what would be the lead time? Say I just found out about, you know, trusted house sitters and I have plans to go out of town, you know, in a month. Is a month enough time? Or what should the expected lead time be for pet parents?
It's a great question. And some of it depends on the time of year. So a month before traveling tends to be a good amount of lead time, particularly if you're in an area that many sitters are either active in or looking to sit in. But also it depends if that's a particularly busy time of year. So our busiest seasons tend to be in the summer and also around the December holidays.
Right.
Those times of years get much more busy because, of course, more pet parents are traveling. And so it's really important that if you are looking for a sitter for those dates, probably more lead time would be better. But we also have people on the platform who will post last minute sits, and the community will often pick those up. Sometimes actually a better fit for someone who might want to travel a bit more flexibly, or somebody who, you know, just happens to be available and sees the opportunity to look after their dream pet, for example. So it's not impossible to also post a last minute sit and have the community and pick that up.
Okay, thanks. Can people also say pet parent, and I know my cat is picky, she needs medication, she's fussy. Can I, you know, I'm a community member and everything. You said that no money changes hands, but what if it's like, I am asking for so much, I want to, can you tip the person? Is that allowed? Or just there's a, you know, absolutely no monetary exchange is ever allowed? What is the rule?
We don't encourage any monetary exchanges for exactly the reason I mentioned up front. For us, it should feel like a really mutual benefit. And I hear some fantastic stories when the match is so perfect between the pet parent and the sitter. You know, after the sit is over, the pet parent and the sitter will be arguing over who should be tipping who. And those types of stories, they always make me laugh because it just shows how incredible the community is, and that incredible feeling when you find your perfect match and you find somebody who loves your pet and your home just as much as you do and feels so grateful and so lucky to be there, and you feel just as lucky to have hosted them. Some of our pet parents and sitters like to leave each other notes, gifts, other ways of appreciating each other. I know some of our pet parents like to host sitters for dinner or to leave groceries or to leave a bottle of wine sometimes if that's something that you and your sitter bond over, and vice versa. I recently came home to fantastic flowers, and I had a sitter from Switzerland who brought me Swiss chocolate one time.
Oh,
they're just wonderful ways of saying thank you, but in a really human and personal way, you know. So I think that's more what we see. We do try and, of course, make it very clear to members that this is not about a monetary exchange, and this is, you know, it's about making meaningful and lasting relationships for both you and your pet.
I love that. Where can people find out more about Trusted House Sitters?
You can go to trustedhousesitters.com, read all about us there. You can sign up. You can see how different people have changed their lives through pet sitting. And of course, also through hosting sitters and having their pets stay happy at home. Loads of cute cat pictures as well. We also have an app. So if you're much more of a mobile person, feel free to download the app and you can also learn more that way.
Emily, thank you so much for coming on Catitude. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. It's great to talk about cats for ages. And yeah, thank you again for letting me share a bit of the joy of trusted house sitters with everyone.
Okay, thank you. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I would just like to thank my guest, Emily Grossman of Trusted House Sitters. Be sure to check that out. It is always so helpful when you know that before you plan a vacation or have to get away, you have somebody to take care of your fur babes. Thanks again to all my listeners for listening to Catitude. Thank you to my cats, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, keeping me on my toes. Thank you for all the wonderful cat sitters I've had in the past, but I am going to be checking out Trusted House Sitters because I think it is a great platform. And again, thank you to Mark Winter for all you do. And remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.